You're listening to the ESPN Radio 94.1 podcast page, accelerated by Sports Innovation X. Six is bridging the gap between tech, athletes, and teams. Check them out at sportsinnovationx.com.
This is 757 Saturday Sports Talk with Matt Hatfield on ESPN Radio 94.1.
Good Saturday morning to you all out there, wherever you may be listening. It is 757 Saturday Sports Talk on ESPN Radio 94.1, and it's the month of August, the sixth day of August, 7 days away from somebody's birthday. We won't say who, but we're expecting a birthday cake, dancing girls, and Ed Young to be on time next Saturday when we do our show as expected at Virginia Wesleyan University. So might have two of those threes take place as AJ Risser joins me back in the saddle again on the other side of the glass. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. I mean, first off, where was my birthday cake?
That's right. You were gone. So
I went, yeah, I was floating
I'm
down a river.
I'm guessing somebody ate it between Ed. Dino or Richie or Ed or one of
I'm
the weekday
putting all
guys.
My money on Ed.
Donnelly or Vogler. Somebody ate the cake. It probably was Ed.
He got mad that I kept calling him a cheater.
But you weren't wrong. He's always a cheater. He abides by the motto of lie if you can, steal if you must, but always cheat. And he's done each of those things at separate times and at the same time. So we've got a lot on the program today. We were planning to have, hoping to have, still may have, keep our fingers crossed, an in-studio guest that we actually had on by phone in the month of June, but have not heard or seen from him. We did have last week while you were gone. If people missed it, you can hear it on our podcast page on ESPNRadio941.com as he valiantly rallied from down in Fact or Fiction to tie Ed, which is better than a loss. They say a tie is like kissing your sister, but hey, it's better than losing to Ed Young. Taquan Smoke Mizell, who had his youth football camp last week. It was funny, last weekend was, as you were away, it was, I mentioned this to Dino, AJ, it was the locals coming back home camp tour as we had the interviews with Dorian Finney-Smith of the Dallas Mavericks. His black tie gala, I heard, was a huge smashing success with Mark Cuban in town, Dallas Mavericks. Dorian Finney-Smith also did the youth basketball camp, the cookout, the celebrity softball game, and then Diamante Tucker-Dorsey also had a successful camp last Saturday at Lake Taylor High in Norfolk as he's gearing up for the upcoming college football season with the Texas Longhorns. He a former FCS All-American with the Dukes of JMU, and then Mizell had his at the Virginia Beach Sportsplex last Sunday. But it was kind of the neat thing of the locals giving back, all either for free or a small fee for the camp, and good for those kids to see some of those shining stars, if you will, and have that opportunity. But a lot happening in the world of sports. I don't know if you saw it last night. Baseball, or I should say, kind of a local feel. We have to shout out Fleet Park, Virginia. Do you know why, AJ? As you said, I said Fleet Park, Virginia. Now you're looking around saying,
nope.
Dear God, someone help me with this. They took down Southwest in the Senior League Baseball World Series 2-1 to win the U.S. Championship last night.
Oh.
And that Norfolk-based team is going to play for the World Championship today, 4 o'clock on ESPN against Puerto Rico. So kudos to them. A lot of locals on that team. In fact, one of the, he's a kid. He's not a grown man or an adult yet. Derek Baker, I want to shout him out because that's the son of former legendary Maury High basketball coach, Old Dominion great, by the way, and current Maury Commodores baseball coach, Jack Baker, who's got over 700 wins at Maury High. He goes back to those great days of ODU hoops when you think of, and he also played, by the way, he played baseball. With our buddy Dave Twardzik, the analyst for ODU men's basketball, and Joey Carruthers, a longtime area official. But anyway, part of that ODU lore, if you will, for back in the day. So son Derek out there is going to try to get another championship playing Puerto Rico today. How about that? World championship for Fleet Park VA. Let's root them on today at 4 o'clock if you've got nothing else going on. And I know you don't, AJ. You got to sit in front of the tube and root on the Norfolk-based Fleet Park, Virginia, in the Little League World Series. And if you're wondering, I'm going to give you an update on this because the last time you were here, we talked about this. As I intertwined this to other things, you know, I got to meet Anquan Boldin, former Raven and Cardinal, as I'm wearing my Larry
former
Fitzgerald
Raven.
Jersey today. Well, come on, he was in the Super Bowl with the Cardinals. They should have won if it wasn't for
Aaron. We showed him how to win, though.
If it wasn't for Aaron friggin' Francisco, couldn't make a tackle to save his life. And Boldin didn't disagree with that when I brought it up to him, by the way. He just kind of shook his head and turned the other way. And also, it's funny because I got to meet Michael Wilbon of ESPN's Pardon Interruption. PTI is off the air with Kornheiser and Wilbon until like August 25th. But I have an update for you on Wilbon. You know, his wife emailed me for photos of the son. I take pictures at the games of their son, Matthew, and wanting to purchase some of the photos. I said, I'll make a trade for you. You
get come in studio.
Michael, come on the show. I don't know if he comes because he's going to be in Ireland, by the way, or wherever that Northwestern Nebraska
game
is.
No, he's not. He's going to be in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Well, at some point he will when Matthew comes back for another AAU tournament or what have you on his world travels. But he literally is going to be in Ireland. And they're going on vacation. But she is all for it. However, she said after 25 years of marriage, she didn't say I'm done. She said I can't speak for Mike's schedule. So we're efforting that. We might not get Bolden on. By the way, he didn't email me for his son's photos. He didn't care. You know, he was tired to say. He's like, yeah, like you said, I'm not a Cardinal. I'm a Raven. I got a ring there. Anyways, we are going to effort getting Michael Wilbon on soon. We do have a big guest, though, joining us later on the show. We have Phil Steele, the college football Bible, which I got right here in studio, AJ, is here in my possession. We'll talk with him in 11 o'clock hour for a segment, maybe two. And we'll also talk with Woodrow Wilson, new head football coach of the Hampton Crabbers, taking over for Michael Leroy Smith after half a century on the sidelines and all those victories. So I think AJ got the message. We do have our in-studio guest with us here, I believe. He's going to join us here in just a couple minutes. So if you want to give us a shout, you are welcome to at 757-687-9494 this morning here on ESPN Radio 94.1. It is 757 Saturday Sports Talk powered by Larry King Law. And we do have, we are going to get our guest here to join us here in just a bit, as I will tell you about that in just a moment, who we have with us in the studio. But again, 757-687-9494 this morning here on 757 Saturday Sports Talk. Might play some over-unders at the end when Coach Young joins us on the program. Real quickly, I think we do have a caller real quick, as we will just go to him live here on 757 Saturday Sports Talk. You're out there. You're on with us on 757 Saturday Sports Talk. Good morning. Who is this? Nope, I don't have him on the line. We'll actually put that person back on hold. So apparently the phones are not working there. I thought we had someone live with us. But over-unders with the in-state college football teams such as UVA, Virginia Tech, Liberty, James Madison, Old Dominion. I have the numbers in front of me for those teams. So we'll probably go through that later on with Ed. I have to bring back out our baseball over-unders that we were looking for a few weeks ago when I couldn't find them. I have found them again. It took me some time to find them, but I did find them. They are not pretty. Ed is probably going to beat me, which is, you know, something he will gloat about to the end of time. He needs to gloat about something, right? And so we will try to rehash those a little bit later on in the show as well as we get ready for the... Matter of fact, here they are in front of me. I got them right now. So I had Atlanta under 90.5. They're going to win more than that. I had over 83.5 for Seattle. That's going to hit. I feel good about that. And I had under 62.5 with the Orioles, which is not going to probably hit. Under for the Astros at 91.5. That doesn't look good. And over 84.5 for St. Louis, which is probably going to hit. And Ed's, we'll read his when he joins us later on in the show for the baseball, as I've got that now in front of me. And I'm going to take a screenshot of it so I don't lose it again. Real quickly before we pop in our guest, I think we have somebody on line one. I'm guessing it's Keith, but I'm not really sure. If we can just double check that, and then we'll pop in our in-studio guest and tell you what we got here for a couple of segments before we have Woodrow Wilson, the new football coach of the Hampton Crabbers, join us this morning here on 757 Saturday Sports Talk, where you can always find us on Twitter at 757 Sports Talk. That is 757 Sports Talk, and interact with us there. Check out our podcast page on ESPN Radio 941.com. So there you have it. That is what we've got for you this morning on the program, and we will tell you about just a second once we have AJ finish up with our caller, what we got coming on. If you got a question for Phil later on in the show too on college football, I know there's a lot of ODU fans out there, UVA, Virginia Tech, just drop it to us via Twitter at 757 Sports Talk. All right, we now have with us in the studio this morning here on the program, he is a guy we talked to back in June as his book was coming out. The book is The Splendid Six of Michael Kadir, David Wright, Ryan Zimmerman, Mark Reynolds, BJ, and Justin Upton, as they all took Major League Baseball by storm. That Splendid Six playing more than 8,300 games in Major League Baseball, nearly 10,000 hits, over 1,500 homers, 15 All-Star nods and a World Series championship. It is the baseball miracle of those splendid six and Tony Townsend, the late, great Tony Townsend. Heartbreak, inspiration, and how baseball can be. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it online. He'll tell you how the ways you can get it. And I think he's doing some book signings this morning as he can pop on the headset here and say hello to us. We are joined by the author of The Baseball Miracle of the Splendid Six and Tony Townsend, Patrick Montgomery, with us. Good morning, Patrick. Thanks for stopping by. And you got a copy right here. How about that? Look at that. We got the book here, and it's forwarded by David Wright, the seven-time MLB All-Star member of the Splendid Six. Good to have you with us. How you been?
Great. Thank you for having me. It's wonderful to be here and talk baseball.
It is. Well, first off, we spoke with you back in June here on the program, and I noticed that this book is number one on new releases among sports items on Barnes & Noble. Great job for you.
Thank you. It was number one for quite a while, and the book release is coming out officially on Monday. Okay. So it's great to actually be number one before it's even released.
So that's pretty much people that got it through online orders and things of that nature. So
Absolutely.
Awesome. Let's get to your background a little bit. For those who are wondering, Patrick Montgomery, who is this guy? Where is he from? And what made him want to do this? If they didn't hear us back in June, we gave a little bit of an intro. Sort of give us the genesis of your background and how this all came about.
Well, I'm a baseball geek, always have been. I've always loved baseball and sports in general. I followed the Splendid Six players as they came up into the minor leagues and major leagues. I first heard about them when I was stationed here at the Coast Guard back in 01 and 02. I kind of followed them, and over time, I always kept tabs, and I've been fortunate enough to be friends with the father-in-law of Mark Reynolds, one of the Splendid Six.
Okay.
And I always kind of heard about it, and I talked to him this winter, well, December of 2021, and he told me about Tony Townsend and the story and some of the unknown things that a lot of people wouldn't know about. And that got me thinking that this had to be a story that had to be captured. The players were retiring, getting older, and separating, living on each coast. And Tony Townsend has passed away now for a long time, and I wanted to make sure that his memory was captured before too much more time passed.
Yeah, for those that don't know, Tony Townsend was a real influential figure to the baseball community here in Tidewater. He established the AAU's first AAU program, or the area's first AAU program. Was it the Drillers and the Blasters?
He did the Blasters, okay. And Matt Sinnen and Gary Wright did the Drillers.
That's right. Okay. So, and I know you were able to catch up with the Townsends, his son Sean, who served as baseball coach at Great Bridge and most recently the athletic director there, and Chase. How was that as you were beginning this project, which was not the easiest to go through, I'm sure?
No, it was nerve-wracking for sure. The Townsend boys are very protective of their mother, as they should be, and protective of their memory of their father. So when I first reached out to a Miss Townsend, there was a little skepticism, which I totally understand. So the first time I met her, she was being walked in by her two sons, you know, two rather large guys, one on each shoulder walking in. So I kind of felt like they were her bodyguards. But pretty quickly, they saw that the intentions were good and true, and just wanted to tell a story about a man that helped shape so many lives in the area.
That's awesome. Talking with Patrick Montgomery, he's the author of The Baseball Miracle of the Splendid Six and Tony Townsend, Heartbreak Inspiration and How Baseball Can Be, as those young men from the Hampton Roads area took the world of baseball by storm. Ryan Zimmerman, Mark Reynolds, B.J. Upton, Justin Upton, Michael Kadire, and, of course, David Wright, who's written the foreword for his book. If you want to chime in and talk with Patrick, any questions you may have baseball-related or about the book and what's on tap, you can give us a shout at 757-687-9494. That's the telephone number. Area code 757-687-9494. Also connect with us through our social pages at 757 Sports Talk. And you can find Patrick on Twitter too at Montgomery Book. That's MontgomeryBook. And you can see some links and all the things he's put out there on his Twitter page with the book here. Now, I'm curious, what made you decide, what compelled you to do a book? Because I know people I've spoken to that are either sports figures, coaches, athletes, administrators, those that knew people, they may start this project, get discouraged, hit a couple of roadblocks, which I know you had to have encountered at some point, and then that's the end of it. I even had someone recently wants to do a book on something basketball related in our area, and my recommendation was, this is not the easiest undertaking. Probably should look into something of the, you know, video message or, you know, method, if you will. Tell me about that a little bit. What really drove you to continue it as you had some hurdles to cross?
It was a daunting project for sure to start, but once I got the ball rolling, I was like, I'm going to roll with this as far and as fast as I can, not let that much disrupt me. And I had some real people along the way that, without knowing it, were just constantly pushing and prodding and helping the process. Ron Wright, the father of David Wright, I don't think he truly understands how much he helped me, because when I first met him and talked to him, he was a great person, and his wife, Elisa, were amazing, but their optimism and just their general positive spirit were amazing. So there are times where I was kind of feeling doubtful about what to do or how to go, and I would just shoot a text over to Ron, and I would get back positive, encouraging words very quickly. And it was that kind of access and support that just kept me going. Bill Shanahan of the Blowfish, Mark Reynolds' father-in-law, was the same way. He would just periodically just check in. Hey, Pat, you know, how's it going? Do you need any help? And I usually didn't need help, but just them checking in to make sure it happened was all I needed. And, of course, my wonderful wife, she was probably the most skeptical in the beginning. But as we kept going, I wouldn't tell her much about the project, but I would go in my office every day from about 8 in the morning and not come out till 6 at night. And I was doing something, and she soon found out that I was.
When did you know this could be something big and have a chance to really take off? Was it after the thing was published? When did it kind of register with you? All right, this has got a chance to be something different.
When I talked to Mark Reynolds at the prayer breakfast in December of 2021, I live about 8 minutes away from the ballpark where we met. And by that ballpark ride home, that 8 minutes, I figured out that this was something that had to be done, that could be done, and I was the person to do it. And pretty much within a week, I had interviews lined up and people to talk to. So the access that people provided for this book is just a testament to the memory and credibility of Vitani Townsend. Like, this wasn't for me at all. This was for the memory of Tony Townsend, and I'm just honored to be part of the project.
And gotten some rave reviews, including Jeff Perlman, the New York Times bestselling author, who said this isn't a book but a love letter to a game that means as much as breathing to Patrick Montgomery. Folks say baseball is dying, but the baseball miracle of the splendid six and Tony Townsend makes a day at the ballpark feel very much alive. We were saying right at the start of our show about this Little League World Series team, Fleet Park, Virginia, playing today at ESPN at 4 o'clock. So baseball, it still has that homegrown, natural connection and feel to it, even in a time where social media and other sports, football is always king to people, but it's something you connect. It's the father-son relationship. It's the grandfather and grandkids, and you can go to the ballpark, and we talk about all the time, baseball is such a great radio sport. It's like you sit on the porch with your friends, or you pour a glass of lemonade and you listen to it. As you went through all this, the feedback you got, what was the most gratifying? Was there any feedback that you got that tried to deter you at all?
The only feedback I got that kind of deterred me a little bit was people always have conflicting memories of what happened growing up 20, 30, 40 years ago. Yeah. And what caused what and who caused what. And sometimes you just have to go with your gut and decide what would Townie, all these years later, want people to know about him. What were the positives that he'd want people to know? So talking with his wife, Kathy, and his sons, I would just go a direction. And I went with the best intention I could based upon the family's feelings. And so that was a tricky area sometimes, but it was an area well worth going, because I wanted to make sure that the family and the Splendid Six really were honored and remembered well in this book.
So more of a delicate tightrope line you had to walk with the Townsend family, which in a lot of ways he becomes front and center in this book, even though people are gravitated to it that are fans and those that grew up, knew, watched the Kadires, the Wrights, the Zimmermans, the Uptons, the Reynoldses, and so forth. And for those, feedback very overwhelmingly positive, I take it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the fact that David Wright did the foreword, I think speaks volumes, and he's always been very accessible and very open about this project to me, and I nothing but mass appreciation to the players for their access. I mean, all six of the players, plus Michael Kadire and Chris Taylor, were all, like, call them up immediately, gave me all the time that I asked for and more. And I think nowadays the access to the celebrities in the area and just heroes is, you know, people don't think that happens, but it really does.
Yeah, I think it's funny because it goes beyond the Splendid Six. Chris Taylor, who's now a current all-star, well, didn't make the all-star team this year, but he's been an all-star lately here for the LA Dodgers in Major League Baseball. There's others that have had connection, be it through the minor league channels. We have the Norfolk Tides here at Harbor Park. We carry their games here on ESPN Radio 94.1. Some ODU greats such as Justin Verlander, who's the likely front-runner favorite for AL Cy Young. I think there's just that, even though we don't have that major pro MLB, NBA, NHL, NFL team here, people, they gravitate towards, you know, the local colleges for football and the high school football, which is getting revved up for basketball. You know, Boo Williams is kind of like today's version of Tony Townsend for basketball, what it's done on the travel scene. And for baseball here, there's so many people that you put on a game, he either played in the 757, there's some connection to around here. Did you encounter that more than you knew where you were beginning this process?
Well, Tony Townsend is a name that people know in the area, but Tony did not do it alone by any means. He had Coach Alan Irby, who in the book I call the Crown Prince, and he's definitely that way. He helped Tony, and it was a two-way relationship. Matt Sinnen, Gary Wright, Lee Banks, Billy Swoop. There's so many names, and I hate to even list names because I know that there's so many others.
Forget somebody.
Yeah, and but those people formed a tight click and bond that just pushed the kids, the parents, to really come together as a community. And you still see that community now. The fact that the Drillers are doing so well still after all these years, and the Blasters with Matt Smith are backing up and they won a national championship this summer. The fact that this is still happening is just a beautiful thing for baseball, and it shows that it can still happen again. This was not a once-in-a-lifetime lightning strike. This can happen again for the area.
Outstanding. We'll come back and talk more with Patrick Montgomery. He's the author of The Baseball Miracle of the Splendid Six and Tony Townsend, how you can get the book, and what's up next with the book as it could be morphing into something else, not just a book. It's all coming your way on 757 Saturday Sports Talk. If you want to chime in, you can do so at 757-687-9494. Reach out to us via Twitter at 757 Sports Talk. It's ESPN Radio 94.1.
This is 757 Saturday Sports Talk with Matt Hatfield on ESPN Radio 94.1.
It is 757 Saturday Sports Talk, powered by Larry King Law. If you're injured in an accident, you know who to call. It's 757-INJURED for Larry King. Matt Hatfield here with you. AJ Rister, other side of the glass. And pleased to be joined in studio here by Patrick Montgomery. He's the author of The Baseball Miracle of the Splendid Six and Tony Townsend, Heartbreak, Inspiration, and How Baseball Can Be. The seven-time MLB All-Star, David Wright himself, wrote the foreword for this book. And it highlights not just Wright, Ryan Zimmerman, Mark Reynolds, BJ, and Justin Upton, Michael Kadire and the late Tony Townsend, but all the baseball stories and factoids that you want to know involving the locals and just this entire area as they went through their journey to the top. And if you want to chime in, you got a few minutes to call in here. If you like it, 757-687-9494. That's 757-687-9494 on ESPN Radio 94.1. One of our Twitter followers, Chris Sanders, says, what player was most interesting during all this? What player was most interesting? They're all interesting, I imagine, for you being a baseball
absolutely.
Guy, right?
Michael Kadire had the best stories, and his voice is a great voice. So you just kind of, like, you want to listen to him talk. He had the best stories. BJ Upton was probably the most nerve-wracking because he was pretty intense. So I enjoyed interviewing him. So I think with him, I was able to unlock some interesting scopes and views from him that are in the book, and it's well worth reading his parts.
As you go through all this, was there a player or two that you realized had a harder journey to its stardom than the other in the Splendid Six?
We all think, or I thought anyway, that these players had a path of gold and how easy it would be for them because of their talent, but it's not true. These players all worked their butts off. Their parents all worked their butts off. Their coaches, everybody. It was not easy for any of them. We think the Uptons have all the talent in the world, or David Wright, but not really. I think the player that probably had it the hardest was Mark Reynolds. The fact that he was smaller and skinnier and had to work even harder than everybody else. And he was a good contact hitter in high school and college, and then he changed his game to kind of shine at one tool in major leagues, which is just power. He was a huge power hitter with a lot of strikeouts. And when asked about that, he said, I could have been an average major league player in five or six tools, but I wanted to be outstanding and shine at one. And that's what he did. And he worked really hard at that one to the point where David Wright mentioned, and Mark Reynolds never knew this, but he only would sneak out for batting practice for a few players. Albert Pujols, Barry Bonds, and Mark Reynolds. He said that those three players put on the most amazing batting practice home run shows that he ever saw. And he had the best power along with those two other guys.
That's pretty high praise to be put in a category with Pujols and Bonds for anything. That's
absolutely remarkable. So a player that was not even drafted out of high school to be considered light tower home run power is amazing. And I thought that was the most interesting part of it.
Did you detect there's still a bond and a connection to this day with all of them being from the 757 and their upbringing and townie towns and that kind of common thread with them each?
There's so much pride in each other and for the area, and also the common bond of the Drillers and the Blasters, Townie and Mattson and those groups of people. There's so much respect for each other and also what they all came through together.
And people can come out and see the guy that wrote this book, that being Patrick Montgomery, who is with us here today. You're doing a book signing, I understand, at Barnes & Noble in Hampton, 1 to 3 p.m. That's today?
Yes, I can't wait to be there.
So you can go check out, get yourself a copy, get it signed, and maybe chat with Patrick for a couple minutes. And also tomorrow at the Virginia Beach Town Center location from 1 to 4 p.m.
1 to 3.
Oh, it's 1 to 3 tomorrow as well. Okay, so 1 to 3 today and tomorrow. So Town Center, Virginia Beach tomorrow, Hampton, Barnes & Noble today, and get yourself a copy of The Baseball Miracle of the Splendid Six and Townie Townsend. So that's going to be cool for you to kind of meet some of the 757 locals and those that follow the sport intimately like yourself.
Absolutely. I've been getting a lot of Facebook messages and Twitter saying, hey, are you going to be there? Are you going to talk baseball? Yes, of course. I love baseball. I love talking baseball.
Who's your team?
Oh, the Yankees.
Oh, you're a Yankee guy.
I know. But growing
AJ's
up,
going to cut your mic off. He's an Orioles fan there. So.
But growing up in New Jersey and New York and such, it's just who I am. I grew up to Phil Rizzuto talking on WPIX, and I loved watching those Yankees growing up.
Oh, wow. So, and even though you're a Yankee guy, the loss of Vin Scully, it hit you deep this week like a lot of people.
Absolutely. I think those old-time broadcasters they're going. The Harry Carries, the Scooters, the Scullies. It's a day of the past, and we have to celebrate the fact that it could happen, and hopefully one day it can happen again.
Yeah, and John Sterling getting ready to hang it up after this year as the full-time radio voice. He and Susan Waldman, who's going to the Radio Hall of Fame,
yes,
part of the class with Chris Mad Dog Russo. I grew up listening to Mike and the Mad Dog, and you being a Yankee fan, I know you probably loved listening to those Yankee championship teams in the 90s, early in 2000s.
Yes.
But so your favorite player had to be a Yankee, or was it someone else?
I am a very weird person because with that.
Authors are, so don't feel, you know.
I loved baseball cards, and I loved Rod Carew.
Okay.
He was my favorite.
It's an outside the box one. Yeah.
For the Twins.
Heck of a player. I think Carew, Killebrew, you could pick one of those Pirates. I mean, Willis Stargell, some of those all-time greats that forget
Dave
about. Because people always talk about the Ruths, the DiMaggios, the Willie Mays, the Hank Aarons, the Stan Musials. You get those names. But some of those others were really, really good. I almost compare it to, like, in basketball, like an Elgin Baylor or an Oscar Robertson. People forget about just how good he really was.
Absolutely. But I was a guy that loved Mickey Mantle. Then it was Reggie Jackson. I had the Reggie bars and all that stuff. Then Dave Winfield. Then you go to Don Mattingly. Then kind of a little stretch there where it was not much, but Dan Pasqua, probably you wouldn't know about him. Then Derek Jeter.
Okay.
We all love Jeter. And then right now it's kind of a great players, but you got to find the one player that you love. And right now I'm kind of still searching.
We could talk baseball with you all day, and I'm sure we'll get you back on as we go through some upcoming things with this. And you're meeting the people here doing the book signing, and this continues to flourish here. But while I got you here, I got to ask you about, since you mentioned Derek Jeter, the captain. Have you gotten to watch that series on ESPN yet? Are you one that's going to sit down and watch it all in its entirety? Don't want to watch bits and pieces on it?
I watch Derek Jeter as I can, when I can, of course.
Okay.
I've read his books about him, and I love the series. But, I mean, at a different time, I'll tell you the story about how I was responsible for Derek Jeter getting drafted to the Yankees.
Really?
I claim about 0.1% responsibility for
that. Well, that's better than 0.0%, which, you know, AJ and I would have to be on that with Jeter being. And so 0.1%. We'll have to get that story sometime.
Yep.
Now, I mentioned that because I would think, just envision that you, with this coming up story, this book here, The Baseball Miracle of the Splendid Six, with the Uptons, Ryan Zimmerman, and Kadir, Wright, Reynolds, is going to be a movie. It's an adaptation to a movie coming up in the fall of 2023, and you're involved with the screenplay, if I hear this right?
Absolutely. I wrote the book, and I was talking about it to a filmmaker friend of mine, and he's like, I love baseball. I fell out of love of baseball. How do I fall back in love with baseball? I'm like, read this book. So I gave him a very early draft of the book, and he's like, you're right. This is a story that we need to be told right now, because at the time, the strike was still going on at baseball, and there was a lot of issues going on, and he's like, we need to tell this kind of story now. And so we're shooting the movie in the fall of 2023.
That's awesome. It's moving
forward, and I couldn't be happier to be associated with the project at that.
All right. Anything you can do to get AJ and me to be one of those guys in the background, maybe we'd love for that.
That'd not a problem at all. We're shooting all in
South
Carolina.
How about that, AJ? We'll be like the Danettes with Dan Patrick.
Oh, I'm totally
in the movie.
I'm totally
That's awesome. Look at that. You just throw us a bone. You're the man, Patrick. You are the guy. And lastly, you just kind of hit on it. What makes this such an interesting read for even the non-baseball or sports fans? Because there's some other things saying, I don't know if I pick up 230 pages of this book. If you do, it'll get your mind moving, and it could be really therapeutic, right?
The best is my mother and my mother-in-law are not baseball fans. They're elder ladies between 75 and 80, and they're not into baseball. And they both are reading the book and read the book and said, it's hooking them in, and it's so much more about baseball. It's about life and dealing with tragedy and redemption. And that's what the book really is about.
That's awesome. I'll get the book. It's The Baseball Miracle, The Splendid Six, and Tony Townsend, Heartbreak Inspiration, and How Baseball Can Be. Patrick is signing today. Meet him at Barnes & Noble, Hampton 1-3 today. Tomorrow, 1-3, Barnes & Noble, Virginia Beach Town Center. Go find it online. Get it in your Amazon, your Kindle, whatever it might be, your devices. Just look it up, Google it, and you can follow Patrick on Twitter. He is up there at Montgomery Book. That is MontgomeryBook. Thank you so much, and it's coming to a big screen near you. All the best.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Patrick Montgomery with us here on 757 Saturday Sports Talk as we go through some historic baseball stories and what's on tap for the book as it goes into a movie coming up in a little more than a year from now. And it is the countdown to high school football. And with that being the case, just 20 days away from the first game in a 757, we caught up with one of the coaches at the Portsmouth Parks and Rec team camp. We're trying to get them all in here before the start of football. We were talking to a bunch of them, players and coaches. And one of them, the head football coach of the Manor Mustangs, Jelani Fair. Let's hear from him now on ESPN Radio 94.1.
Go. All right, here with Manor head football coach Jelani Fair as the Mustangs gear up for 2022 campaign with the Portsmouth Parks and Rec team camp. All right, day one in the books here, coach. It's July. It's hot, humid, which is always the case in the summertime. What do you think of your group here as we've gone through that year of new uniform, new school name, new nickname, and you guys made the playoffs, had a winning regular season, so you got to be feeling like, all right, Manor's made its mark to a degree. Still work to be done.
Still a lot of work. And I told the guys, we set a standard last year, made the playoffs, and that's not good enough this year. Winning record, not good enough this year. Now we have to take that next step. We made some strides today, but again, what is it, July the what, 18th?
Yeah.
Made me look like, you know, we did what we're supposed to. We might be probably a little bit bigger, stronger than the other team we play today, but, you know, we have to execute, you know, little things a little bit better.
Well, you're going to see quality competition throughout the week, not just with Grafton and the Bay Rivers, but you see Salem, who's been a playoff team out for many years, and Virginia Beach Church, who's going to come up in Portsmouth. You were with Don Trump, on that staff.
Right.
And obviously, Warwick's been in the playoffs making some noise here. And you're going to be a different team from August to September, October, moving forward. Your quarterback, tell me about him, because you had a lot of success at that position throwing the ball a season ago. A new guy in Kendrick Soule, a junior, right?
Yes. He's what's the saying, guy from out of the ceiling? He was that guy. He had been in the school and just wasn't playing football. And just came out, I want to say, about a month and a half ago and said, go to him. Play a little quarterback. And everybody was saying, hey, you can play. And he ran line. So, I'm looking for big things out of him this year. And he actually competed very well today. I was pretty proud of him.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be in your plans. I don't want to give away secrets. But when he did take off and run, whether that's designed or not, he's not easy to bring down or wrap up, it looked like. So he's fairly well built.
Well, he's got to get used to the high school football. He's not a small kid, but he's got to realize he's not playing against other small kids. He's playing against some varsity competition. But I think he'll be okay when he takes off and runs. And he does a really good job on the ball.
All coaches looking for senior leadership and experience, but two 10th graders that have stood out a little bit here from passing league to now. Jalen Key for you at sophomore tight end, I think it is, as well as Anton Chavis, lineman, who's a big-sized kid. What are you expecting from the younger crop as they get adapted in addition to a new QB here for you?
There's a few guys that I'm really leaning on real heavy. Anton is one of them. He's been as expected. We told everybody coming in the door, we got a guy. And I believe he'll probably be a scholarship kid sometime pretty soon. He does all the little things real. Big kid, strong kid. loves the weight room, and he played like it today. We all got to get in a little bit better shape. We've been off for a while, but he's one. Jalen's a young guy. He's got to get used to the speed, but he's another big kid. Quite a few young guys, I think, will make a pretty good impact this year.
It's only July, but if there's something you're looking at early, all coaches will say, well, we've got to run the ball, stop the run, not turn over. But what's going to be an area or two that's going to be really important to dictate whether you win some of those close games and take another leap this year from your perspective?
I thought early last year I was not happy with our physicality, our aggression. And then towards the end of the year, it picked up. And I don't want any of that process this year. I want us from start to finish. I want us to be an aggressive team. I want us to run to the football. And we did an okay job today. But I think we can get a little bit better with that. We got some guys that don't mind dropping their shoulder. And we had a couple of nice tackles today. But we all got to get a little bit better on defense and offensive-wise as well, as far as being physical. That's what I preach. That's what I want. That's what I'm looking for. Strong physical team, good football.
And lastly, I know there was for many years that stigma Woodrow Wilson hadn't been good, except the guy that you coached with many years ago, Darnell Moore, took him to a deep playoff run. You guys got some early success. Is it a matter of getting that mindset and mentality like, all right, we've got to be serious, focused, locked in all the time? Because in the Eastern District now, Lake Taylor and Maury have established themselves as championship teams. Churchland's been growing. There are some games that you have to be ready or it can be an ugly night, right?
Right, exactly. It's just competition. It's pretty much a good football team every night. And we got to rise to that level. I don't want to be competitive anymore. I'm tired of that. It's time to take that next step. And I think this might be a year that we're going to show some guys that, hey, we're ready to play on this level. And should be an interesting season. I think we'll be very well.
Exciting times for the Manor Mustangs as they gear up for 2022. Thank you so much. We'll see you soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
That's Jelani Fair. We caught up with him at the Portsmouth Parks and Rec team camp last month. Coach of the Manor Mustangs, formerly the Woodrow Wilson Presidents. Year two of that new name, school colors, logos, everything. And their first game's coming up August the 26th at Lakeland High in Suffolk. And we caught up with Coach Marcus Cutler last week. If you missed any of that, it's up on our podcast page on ESPNRadio941.com. So Manor in her second year after being Woodrow Wilson, looking for more good times. Speaking of Woodrow Wilson, that's the name. Look how I segue that. Of our next guest, the head football coach of the Hampton Crabbers, he will join us coming up on 757 Saturday Sports Talk on ESPN Radio 94.1.
This is 757 Saturday Sports Talk with Matt Hatfield on ESPN Radio 94.1.
757 Saturday Sports Talk is powered by Larry King Law. August the 6th, 20 days until the first high school football game in Virginia. And the most storied program in VHSL history, the Hampton Crabbers, where Michael Leroy Smith retired after half a century, 51 years on the sidelines. Who did it better? No one won more state championships than his 12 or victories, his 506. And a guy that once played for him, was an assistant coach, and is now at the helm of the storied Hampton Crabbers. We say hello and congrats. Good morning to Woodrow Wilson with us here on ESPN Radio 94.1. Coach, good to have you on the show. How's the summer treating you?
Good morning, sir. Thank you for having me. Some have been good so far.
Well, I have to ask you, I asked this to a coach last week, and I'll throw it to you. How in the world on earth do you all navigate this unbearable heat? Because I know when you were a player for the great Mike Smith, who I'm sure you've got tons and tons of stories, more than we have time for, but we want to get a couple of them out of you. It was hot back then, but this triple-digit heat index has made things all the trickier for us to get some football going.
Yes, it has, but, you got to deal with what you dealt. So basically, we go inside. We try to do a lot of teaching. Try to bring the kids along those lines. Like you said, when I was here, it was no such thing as a heat index. We came out no matter what the temperature may have been. But like I said, things have changed now, and you got to adapt to what you've been dealt.
Did you ever think the day would come where Mike Smith was not the head man of the Hampton Crabbers? I know he's not going to go too far because you're going to use him as a sounding board, and why not? He's the greatest to ever do it. And that not only that would happen, you'd be the choice to be the one to follow him.
Well, I knew it someday and sometime that would happen. I didn't know it would happen this year. But he did come to me, and first of all, I turned it down because – I know it's a lot of work, and I didn't want to deprive the kids of putting in the work to prepare them and have them ready for each game, and also the grind that I knew it was going to take for a head coach. So like I'm saying, along those lines, Coach was consistent, and I said to him, if it means that much to you, Coach, then I would do it. If they give me the job, I'm going to be basically just like you. I'm going to put in the work. If the player's on the rock, if I knew that player's on the rock, I'd turn the rock over like I knew you would have done and had us prepare like you did when I played for you and when I coached you.
So you were hesitant at first to follow him. Was that because of the pressure, knowing the gravity of the situation? You're comfortable as the assistant at first. What was the thing you were wrestling with most?
Well, times have changed. You know, I mean, when we were coming along, like I said, there was no such thing as a heat index. We had no trainer. Basically, the coach was the trainer and also the coach. That have changed to the point where the trainer actually, you know, make the call on that. And all coaches, I hope, go by what he said. Like if he said heat index, you can go out there for an hour, 2 hours, or whatever it may be. They had to have water breaks every 30 minutes. So basically, with that being said, you know, you got to adapt to all that. And at first, I didn't know if I wanted to do that. But like I said, I'm all about the kids. So I try to do anything possible, just like Coach Smith did. As long as the kids doing the right thing, if humanly possible, if I can help them, they know I will.
Crabbers open up the season August the 27th against the Gloucester Nukes. High noon game. Then their next game is at Booker T. Washington September 2nd. Big one in the PD against Woodside September 9th. We're talking with the new head men of the Crabbers, Woodrow Wilson, here with us on 757 Saturday Sports Talk on ESPN Radio 94.1. Best advice you got from Coach Smith and even others as you begin year one at the helm?
Well, you know, Coach never gave me any advice, but I've been around him for so long, been knowing him since 73. I think I first met him in 72 when he came over to the junior high that I was going to. That was originally Ham High School. And then when it became a junior high, it was called Thorpe Junior High. That's right down there. I used to be in the parking lot. The school used to be in the parking lot where Darling Stadium is at. What I learned from Coach, dedication, hard work, put in the time. Work with your kids, teach them up, and have them ready to go game day.
As we get into the players, Coach, the quarterback position is always the thing we start with in football. And at Hampton High, there's been some legends, Ronald Curry, Tyrod Taylor, so many other greats, David Watford. The list just goes on and on from the 70s to the 80s, the 90s to 2000s here. What's it looking like, QB1 for your squad? And give me also a look at the rest of the offense if you can.
Well, basically at QB, the quarterback that we're expecting to lead us, he had a knee injury back in December, and he haven't fully recovered. Matter of fact, he still got screws in his knee. They would be taken out probably 2-3 days before our official game. So he would not, I know definitely, would not be in that game and probably the game after that. So we had to prepare somebody in case he wasn't able to participate, and the way it looked right now, he won't. So the young man that we have in there right now, Samar Griffin, he can pick up things very well, very intelligent young man. So we're going to go with that, and backing him up would be Jamari Lumpkin. Same thing could be said about him. So right now, that's our quarterback situation. As far as the team itself, we had to basically replace everybody. We had a senior-led team last year, but people like Raquan Smith, he's going to be probably our starting tailback and inside linebacker. Kevin Chester, he's going to play fullback and alternate with Raquan at tailback. He'll also be an inside backer. Samar, who I spoke of as far as the quarterback, he's going to be our outside lineman. We got a few freshmen that look promising. Jabari Johnson, Amari Vann, and Quentin Pearson. As far as offensive tackle, he seems like he's developing very well. I'm pleased with the effort and the work that he's putting in right now. So them would be some of our key players for this year coming up.
Couple more for you, Coach. We'll let you run. Look forward to following the Crabbers on the journey to the playoffs here in 2022. Any possible breakout name or two? It could be a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, because look at the squad. There's not that hallmark name prospect on the squad like, you know, we've had in recent years, you know, the Elijah, I'm forgetting his last name, Cuffey, or what was it? Conliff, rather. Elijah Conliff, yep. Or, you know, the Deion Daz Newsome. Yeah, you don't have those big name recognizable players. But as a coach, that can also be a good thing because you can fly under the radar to an extent. Is there a name or two that could kind of bust out as a breakout player in the PD in the area this year for you?
Well, I think I'll give you two. Like I said, Raekwon Smith is inside back and tailback. Expecting big things from him. And also Jamari Lumpkin at corner or safety. And wide out. That's why I hope Chaos can heal quickly. If he listens, and he will, he could be an outstanding quarterback. He'll be a junior. He got a big arm. He just need to concentrate on certain things. And like I said, I hope he can mend fairly quickly. If he does, the offense gonna take off. And I think the backbone of our team gonna be our defense.
Yeah, I think for many years the defense has been the forte for the Crabbers. Even though those offensive skill players get the headlines and the attention, y'all have won a lot of championships because of defense, as you well know over the years with yourself and Coach Smith and the late, great Danny Mitchell, Coach Mann, and that crew over there on Queen Street. Now, your district, Phoebus, is always the big rival. We'll get to that game come October, so you got plenty of time with that. Woodside's been pretty good over the years under Danny Dodson. Warwick's been successful here lately as well under Corey Hairston, and some other teams can emerge and be factors there. I know Kickatan's got a big-time stud going to Duke and David Anderson. What's it going to take for the Crabbers to be not just one of the last team standings, but to get better as the year goes on? Because I know that's always the goal for you all, to get better from game one to the very end.
Well, that's true. And like I said, I'm pleased with the work ethic that the young men are showing right now. And like you said, all those teams you just mentioned have outstanding coaches. So we have to coach them up, and we definitely going to have to be prepared, limit our mistakes. And I feel like if we do that and improve it each week, we're going to be okay.
That is Woodrow Wilson, head football coach of the Hampton Crabbers, taking over for the legendary Mike Smith on West Queen Street. First game coming up against the Gloucester Dukes. Some exciting times in store on Thursday, Friday, Saturdays at Darling Stadium and John B. Tye Stadium in Newport News. Coach, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the summer, and we'll see you out in the gridiron very soon.
Thank you for having me, and I appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
You got it. Woodrow Wilson with us here on 757 Saturday Sports Talk as we talk about the Crabbers of Hampton High. You can't crush a crab. Don't try, AJ, because you can't.
Well, there are soft-shell crabs.
You can't crush a crab. That's what I'm told over there. You cannot crush a crab, and Woodrow Wilson looks to continue that tradition and legacy at Hampton High. So many great NFL players. The list goes on and on and on. We'll come back and talk with a living legend, Phil Steele. He is the college football guru. I've got his Bible right here. It's got like 400 pages. It's unbelievable. We'll give you all the lowdown on the local teams, in-state teams, and everything college football with Phil. It's next on ESPN Radio 94.1.